I knew the farmer would do as I said, because he was a conscientious stockman. But I'd seen cases like this before, and I wasn't happy. Nothing seems to pull a good cow down quicker than a painful foot. Big fat animals could be reduced to skeletons within weeks because of the agony of septic arthritis. I could only hope.
Very good, Mr. Elliot, Mr. Birtwistle said. And now come into the house. Missus has a cup of tea ready for you.
I seldom refuse such an invitation, but as I entered the kitchen, I knew this was where the going got really tough.
Now then, Mr. Elliot,
the farmer's wife said, beaming as she handed me a steaming mug.
I was talking to your good lady in the marketplace yesterday, and she said...
And you think them powders of yours might do the trick?
Her husband looked at me seriously.
Well, I hope so, because Nellie's a right good milker. I reckon last lactation she gave...
Kestrels is drawn agin Dibbermint Ulton Cup.
Len chimed in.
It'll be some game. Last time...
Mrs. Birtwistle continued without drawing breath.
You were nicely settled in at the top of Skeldale House. It must be right pleasant up there with a lovely view and
5 gallons when she first carved, and she kept it up for...
They nearly kicked us off pitch.
But by God, I tell you, Will,
you can see right over Darrowby. But it wouldn't do for a fat body like me. I was saying to your missus that you have to be young and slim to live up there. All them stairs and...
I took a long draught from my cup. It gave me a chance to focus my eyes and attention on just one thing as the conversation crackled unceasingly around me. I invariably found it wearing to try to listen to all 3 Birtwistles in full cry, and, of course, it was impossible to look at them all simultaneously and adjust my expression to their different remarks. The thing that amazed me was that none of them ever became angry at the others butting in. Nobody ever said,
"I'm speaking, do you mind?" or "Don't interrupt," or "For Pete's sake, shut up!"
They lived together in perfect harmony, with all of them talking at once, and none paying the slightest heed to what the other was saying. When I saw the cow during the following week, she was worse. Mr. Birtwistle had followed my instructions faithfully, but Nellie could scarcely hobble as he brought her in from the field. Len was there to lift the foot, and I gloomily surveyed the increased swelling. It ran right round the coronet from the heel to the interdigital cleft in front, and the slightest touch from my finger caused the big cow to jerk her leg in pain. I didn't say much, because I knew what was in store for Nellie, and I knew, too, that Mr. Birtwistle wasn't going to like it when I told him. When I visited again at the end of the week, I had only to look at the farmer's face to realize that everything had turned out as I feared. For once, he was on his own, and he led me silently to the byre. Nellie was on 3 legs now, not daring even to bring the infected foot into momentary contact with the cobbled flooring. And worse, she was in an advanced state of emaciation, the sleek, healthy animal of 2 weeks ago reduced to little more than bone and hide.
"I doubt she's at it," Mr. Birtwistle muttered.
Cows' hind feet are difficult to lift, but today I didn't need any help because Nellie had stopped caring. I examined the swollen digit. It was now vast, a great ugly club of tissue with a trickle of pus discharging down the wall.
"I see it's bust there."
The farmer poked a finger at the ragged opening.
"But it hasn't given her no relief."
"Well, I wouldn't expect it to," I said. "Remember, I told you the trouble is all inside the joint."
"Well, these things happen,"
he replied.
"I might as well telephone for Malik. She's hardly given a drop of milk, poor old lass. She's nought but a screw now."
I always had to wait for the threat of the knacker man's humane killer before I said what I had to say now. Right from the start, this had been a case for surgery. But it would have been a waste of time to suggest it at the beginning. Amputation of the bovine digit has always filled farmers with horror. And even now I knew I would have trouble convincing Mr. Birtwistle. "There's no need to slaughter her," I said. "There's another way of curing this."
"Another way? We've tried hard enough, surely."
I bent and lifted the foot again. "Look at this." I seized the inner cleat and moved it freely around. "This side is perfectly healthy. There's nothing wrong with it. It will bear Nellie's full weight."
"Aye, but what about t'other horrible thing?"
"I could remove it."
"You mean cut it off?"
"Yes." He shook his head vigorously.
"Nay, nay, I'm not having that. She's suffered enough. Far better send for Jeff Malik and get job over."
Here he was again. Farmers are anything but shrinking violets, but there was something about this business which appalled them.
But, Mr. Birtwistle, I said, don't you see, the pain is immediately relieved. The pressure is off and all the weight rests on the good side.
I said no, Miss Derry, and I mean no. You're doing your best, and I thank you, but I'm not having her foot cut off, and that's all about it.
He turned and began to walk away. I looked after him helplessly. One thing I hate to do is talk a man into an operation on one of his beasts, for the simple reason that if anything goes wrong, I get the blame. But as I was just about certain that an hour's work could restore this good cow to her former state, I couldn't let it go at this. I trotted from the byre. The farmer was already halfway across the yard on his way to the phone. I panted up to him as he reached the farmhouse door. Mr. Birtwistle, listen to me for a minute. I never said anything about cutting off her foot, just one cleat.
Well, that's half a foot, isn't it? He looked down at his boots. But it's how much for me.
But she wouldn't know a thing, I pleaded. She'd be under a general anaesthetic, and I'm nearly sure it would be a success.
Mr. Elliot, I just don't fancy it. I don't like the idea. And if it did work, it would be like having a crippled cow walking about.
Not at all. She would grow a little stump of horn there, and I'd like to bet you'd never notice a thing. He gave me a long, sideways look, and I could see he was weakening. Look, Mr. Birtwistle, I said, pressing home the attack. Within a month, Nelly could be a fat cow again, giving 5 gallons of milk a day. This was silly talk, not to be recommended to any veterinary surgeon, but I was seized by a kind of madness. I couldn't bear the thought of that cow being cut up for dog food when I was convinced I could put it right. And there was another thing. I was already savouring the pleasure, childish perhaps, of instantly relieving an animal's pain, of bringing off a spectacular cure. There aren't many operations in the field of bovine surgery where you can do this, but digit amputation is one of them.